Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 5th, to welcome two guests to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Kelly Holbert and her son Hayes. Hayes is going into the 11th grade, and this mom-son duo went on the student ministry trip to South Africa just a couple of weeks ago, and I have asked them to come on to talk a little bit about their trip. But first, they'll read from the book of Acts for us, and then we'll have a time where we sit down and talk about things of life, faith, and mission. Thank you, Kelly and Hayes, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having us. Today's passage is Acts 17, 10 through 34, and we'll divide up the passage. I'll be reading verses 10 through 21. As soon as it was night, the brothers and sisters sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Upon arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of prominent Greek women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, they came there too, agitating and upsetting the crowds. Then the brothers and sisters immediately sent Paul away to go to the coastline, but Silas and Timothy stayed on there. Those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving instructions for Silas and Timothy to come to him as quickly as possible, they departed. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshiped God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also debated with him. Some said, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Others replied, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign deities," because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, "We may learn about this new teaching you are presenting, because what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new.
I am continuing on with verses 22 through 34. Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he's the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Since then we are God's offspring. We shouldn't think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human art and imagination. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has a set day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He's provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him, but others said, "We'd like to hear from you again about this." So Paul left their presence. However, some people joined him and believed, including Dionysus, the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them.
Thank you so much, Kelly and Hayes, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us and for going on mission with Mountain Brook Baptist. Kelly, I want to hear first from you a little bit about you, about your family, and then how you got connected with Mountain Brook Baptist.
Well, I'm originally from Florence, Alabama, so not from this area. Went to school at Auburn and then moved to Birmingham from there. Met my husband, and we visited a few churches and were members at a different church for a while. And then, interestingly enough, Steve was a member of Mount Brook Baptist years ago. And then our boys were at the daycare here and loved it. We were very happy with our experience with that. And then decided to visit again as a family after the boys were born and really loved it. In fact, Doug Dortch had just started. Just started as the new pastor. So we've loved our time here. And
so that means you've been here maybe 12 or 13 years. We were trying to decide on that.
That's about right.
Okay, so Hayes is with us today, but tell us about your other son.
So we have Pierce, who is just finished his first year in college. And he's home this summer. He's a big golfer, loves to play golf, and is always keeping us on our toes with his jokes or quick humor. So I'm thankful to have him home this summer.
Now, did he get his athletic ability from you? Because I know you're a big athlete.
Well, I don't know about that. But he was always athletic when he was young, played soccer, played golf. Pretty quick, was a really good runner. That's what I wanted him to do. But
speaking of running, I know that that's one of your main hobbies. Tell me about other hobbies that you have.
I enjoy cycling. I have a group of girls that I cycle with and enjoy swimming, love to cook, love to spend time with our friends and family, love to travel.
Do you still teach a class at the Y?
I do. After many, many years of the YMCA.
Tell me a little bit about the class.
I teach a spinning class. And for the people that don't know what that is, it's a cycling class, just an indoor cycling class. I teach that a couple days a week. And then two other days I teach a YGT, which is designed to be a smaller group class, 10 people or less. So it's kind of a strength plus circuit type class. We do some cardio, but do a lot of strength too.
Now tell me about your professional life. You do that for fun, right? What do you do
for
a living?
I'm in the financial services industry, investment insurance, and I've been doing that for probably 25 years now.
And how did you come to faith in Christ?
My grandparents were really involved, I guess, in that. I grew up going to church, but I guess when I was 10 or 11, my grandmother would talk to me a lot about truly making a decision, not just going to church. So I was about 12 or 13 when I accepted Christ as my Savior.
And Hayes, I want to hear a little bit about you as well. You're at Mountain Brook High School. Tell us what grade you're in and maybe something you like about your school.
I'll be in 11th grade, a junior at Mountain Brook High School. And yeah, I like it there. My favorite subject would probably be math or science.
And tell me a little bit about your hobbies and interests.
So I like to work out and play different sports, play golf, and just really any sport I'm in the mood for fun. And I like to play video games and also travel.
I see you here early on Tuesday mornings during the school year. Tell me a little bit about your work with the junior high school Bible study.
So I help just lead the junior high Bible studies and just be with the students and walk them through the reading we do each week. So I'm helping Joel and Fallon and everyone there just walk them through and help encourage the students to read their Bible on their own, not just on Tuesday mornings.
And have you been able to develop some relationships with the younger students because of this?
Yes, ma'am, definitely. I've gotten to know many different people. Webb, your son, obviously. Got to see him a lot, so that's been fun.
And thank you for pouring into the students and helping them to know that there's someone one step ahead that loves the Lord and loves them. Speaking of loving the Lord, I would like to hear a little bit about your testimony of faith.
So, obviously, growing up in the church, my parents were really good about telling me about Christ and letting me make the decision when it's time. So a few years back, I decided to get baptized and become a member. And then I'm just trying to grow closer to him in the past few years as I've experienced more things throughout my life.
I know that you and your mom went on the recent student ministry trip to Cape Town, South Africa. How did you serve while you were on that trip, and what was it like serving in Cape Town?
So we did a lot of different things. First, I was on the dental team, so I helped Dr. Chambliss teach the kids and also some adults just about teeth hygiene and just the basics because they didn't know too much. And we also were able to do a few checkups and see their teeth and report them to a dentist we knew we could trust. We also helped the kids and went to, they called it Child Protection Week, I believe. So we got to spend time with the kids at different schools, and that was good. And we also went to multiple communities throughout Cape Town, got to see their living situations and get to know them and help them out by either cooking food with cooking mamas or building a garden for the community. It was really fun to see everyone and how happy they were.
I'm reminded that even when you see the poorest of poor, sometimes they have abundant life, even in the midst of not having material blessings. How did you process that in your mind?
So it was definitely hard the first few days to just wrap my head around just what they're living and why they're so happy. But Joel was good about letting us have time to think and reflect each night and get to become more happy like they were, especially with how much we have here at home.
Kelly, would you add anything about your experience of this in Cape Town?
I agree with Hayes. It's hard to sort of see the amount of poverty there. But with the people that had so much joy, it reminded me of the scripture we just read and how Paul talked to those in Areopagus, and that saying God does not live in shrines or temples or things that are made by man, that he loves each and every one of us, and that we find that in our relationship with him. And there was one lady that reminded me, he was talking about the cooking mamas. We went into one of the communities that's so impoverished, and she was waiting for the cooking mama to finish the meal and standing outside, and she just burst into dance and song. And she was so happy to just be there, and it really just brought tears to my eyes.
What did you learn about serving others as a result of this trip?
They showed me that really I felt like they were almost serving me. They showed me that joy. I saw people in situations, in dire situations, that would be singing or dancing like the lady I mentioned, but also we would each morning go to Living Hope's headquarters, and they would have a devotion. And then those members of Living Hope, the staff, would just start singing. And there would be one person, and there's no music. And they would just be dancing, and it would be this incredible song. And we were all just amazed at just the joy that they all had. So even though we were there to serve, I do feel like we probably received a lot more.
Is there a moment or a ministry that you guys did that sticks out in your mind that you might share with us?
So I'd say when we got to test patients' blood pressures around Mossy, which is one of the communities, they let us into their homes, even if it wasn't big enough for all three of us who were there in my group. And we were able to pray for each one of them through their struggles and their health needs. And I thought that was really impactful for me to be with them in their own home, even though that I didn't know them, to be able to pray for them and to just talk to the Lord with them.
And one of the other things we did was to build a small garden in the front yard of a lady's home. And there were children. She had multiple children. that were out just twirling and running and laughing and talking to us, and her neighbor's children would run over and they wanted to see what we were doing. But in the end, by the end of the day, we were able to literally plant some cabbage and some green beans and some carrots, in just the look on her face of how thrilled she was that she could grow her own food. That was very memorable for me.
A follow-up question would be then, how has the Lord grown you spiritually as a result of this trip?
I feel like He showed me ways, or showed me areas of my life that need to be nurtured by Him, that areas of my life that I need to give over to Him. And I think He showed me, He allowed me to see that there's so many areas in our own community that need our service, and that it's not just going there and that that's the end, that He wants to use us, and He wants to bring us back home and use us here as well. We don't have to travel halfway across the world to do that. But I do feel like I still feel like He's tugging at my heart each day, because I've worked on the International Missions Committee for the last few years. And so I've seen a lot of these ministries on the budget, and I've seen that our church is giving to these people. But for me to see firsthand that Living Hope, what they are doing with multiple arms in Cape Town and those communities, it really hit me profoundly to know what our church is doing and how they are using the resources that we provide them. And I'm confident that those resources are being used properly. I guess one of the other things as far as spiritually being impacted was when we went to church in Cape Town called the King of Kings. It just hit me so hard when I walked in to the worship service. Just in an instant, I was so aware of how vast God's love is, and that they're worshiping halfway across the world just as we do. In fact, a few of the same songs. And I just was not prepared for that. I felt, I don't know why, I thought it might look a little different, but He is reaching around the globe, even though sometimes we see that there are pockets that maybe need His word. But it was so powerful to worship with people who are from a different country, who may look different, have different backgrounds. But it really was truly, it was an emotional experience for me.
As a group, did you all discuss how to bring back your experiences here to the U.S.? How does it translate from going on a mission trip to coming back home and following Jesus here?
So as I've come back, I feel like God's kind of led me to just serve those here in need in Birmingham, and looking for opportunities to help those in need in this church throughout Mount Brook, Birmingham, and even the cities around it. I've also just felt like He's been pushing me to maybe go on a mission trip, another mission trip in the future. I feel like God's calling me to just help those in need wherever I see them and wherever the opportunities lead me next.
Thank you, Hayes and Kelly, for joining the podcast and for helping us to be open to what the Lord might be saying to us about His mission in our lives. Would one of you end our time together with prayer?
Father, thank you so much for this time that we've had together. We're so grateful for Living Hope and the ministry that they have. We're so grateful for your Spirit on these people that are joyful in the midst of extreme poverty. Just thank you for your love, for your forgiveness. In Christ's name I pray.